Blog Talk Radio.
Sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth, this is the 223rd edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria, and the title of today's message is Godly Medicine for the Holiday Blues. Yes, folks, this is the Christmas season, and let's keep Jesus in the season, because he's the reason for the season, and we're going to look at a very, very powerful verse, or passage, I should say, out of Psalm 42, verses 5 through 11, and you know, let's face it, Christmas can be so exciting for so many, yet it's also a time of deep, deep depression for others. And you know, the world, they call it the holiday blues. That's why I put it in the message. I wanted you to scratch your head and say, wait, where's he going with this? Now, the experts of the world, you know, these worldly doctors and gurus that you see on TV, say that you get these holiday blues because you're not planning properly. Or maybe you have family conflict and you just dread what's coming up while you visit. Or you're striving for perfection, or just have a lack of sleep because you're just too busy getting ready for Christmas. Or perhaps it is even grief. So they'll go that far, you know. But in Psalm 42, verse 5, we see King David asking himself and God, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? So he's talking to himself, you know. And it's obvious as we read the rest of this psalm, which we'll read most of, that King David's in this deep state of despondency. And today we call that depression. Now, this isn't just being sad, because we all feel sad from time to time. That's what David's talking about here. And it's not being disturbed, because we all get disturbed at times, too. And besides that, we've all had broken hearts. So it's not a broken heart or a disappointment or a faded or lost dream. Here, King David is asking himself a very deep question. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? So in this very special holiday message, we're going to look at this scripture, which contains three basic truths concerning this depression that's so much more prevalent during this season known as the holiday season in the secular world. Yet we know it's all about Jesus. And people seem to get so deeply depressed right now. But the Bible gives us three truths concerning this, and it's my prayer today that we'll all grasp this and learn to deal with it if we ever should face depression. So first of all, let's look at this serious problem that the world's labeled depression. It's not a small problem, folks. As a matter of fact, some of the different institutes, there's one called the National Institute of Mental Health, and it reports that this is over $1 billion a year medical issue. Over $1 billion a year is spent treating depression. So millions of Americans, they're depressed. They can't even get up for work in the morning. Many of them have to go to hospitals, and they become so incapacitated that some even end up dying. And it only gets worse at this time of year. So it's not much good to just roll your eyes and pat them on the back and say, cheer up. Because that's exactly what they want to do, but they just don't know how to do it. That's the point. They've tried everything they know how to do with no results. So just what exactly is this depression or holiday blues? Well, you know, there's some places you can go on the internet and read about it and see what it's all about. But it's described as a passive or listless feeling. You just don't want to do anything. It's a continual feeling of sadness, a sadness that comes in and just kind of grabs hold of you, and it's there day and night. It's an attitude where nothing feels good or nothing feels like it's worth anything. And then it's further compounded by this this constant state of hopelessness. You feel like you're never going to get better. You feel like nobody cares. Nobody truly understands how you feel. And it gets to the point where you really think that no one truly accepts you. Now, you know, we could put together checklists and you can go through them. And you could ask yourself questions like, have you lost all initiative? Either gradually or suddenly, and you've just given up, thrown in the towel? Do you have repeated crying spells and just feel overwhelmed with this grief or sorrow, and you just find yourself crying day and night? Do you wake up in the middle of the night for no apparent reason and can't go back to sleep? Or do you wake up in the morning and you feel dread? You just don't want to get out of bed. You just hate to face the day. Or do you have a numbness and aching all over you? Not really a pain specifically that you can identify to, but just an overall bad feeling. Or do you find yourself sometimes thinking about your own death and even trying to wish it upon yourself? And maybe you're even afraid you're going to start having thoughts of suicide. Or maybe sometimes, for no reason at all, you just have this heaviness on your chest and you sigh. Or you have difficulty making decisions and moving on through life, like you'll be at a restaurant with friends and you just can't even pick what you're going to eat for lunch. Or do you distrust your own wisdom and keep second-guessing yourself? Or do you get irritable and sharp-tongued with yourself and other people for no apparent reason? You find yourself just yelling at even yourself when you drop something or you make a mistake. Do you find it difficult to be enthusiastic about anything? Well, if you've answered yes to several of those things, a doctor might diagnose you as clinically depressed, which is a serious problem, folks, and a potential killer. Now, you may be thinking as you're listening to this, bro, Ken, you've gone off the deep end. The problem here is these people just don't know and trust Jesus. Well, if I had my buzzer up right now, I'd buzz you, folks, because that's simply not true. Many of God's most holy and high saints have also been depressed. Just take Moses, for example, or Elijah and Jonah. All of them were so depressed that they asked God to kill them. Look it up, folks. Look it up. Read about those three very godly men in the scriptures, and you'll see they were all depressed. And don't forget about John the Baptist. Remember when he was sent to prison by Herod? And he's down there in the dungeon. He was so depressed that he even doubted whether Jesus Christ, the one he heralded as the Lamb of God, was truly the Messiah and the Son of God. And then there's the Apostle Paul, the Apostle's Apostle. He came to a place where he despaired even of his own life. And then, of course, King David, the man among men that we learned about last week in his indiscretion with Bathsheba, who wrote the focus verse of this message. Think about a man who had reason for depression. It certainly was King David, you know. Outwardly, we see all these things. You know, we saw what happened last week with his two grievous indiscretions. Boy, that's enough just to drive you off the deep end. Then he had this son named Absalom who tried to take over his kingdom. He actually brought rebellion to the kingdom. And now King David loved his son, yet he still had to flee for his life. He lost everything. And then Absalom was killed. And King David cried out, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son Absalom, would to God I'd die for thee, Absalom." You know, this was the kind of stuff King David was going through. No more throne, no more power on the lamb, so to speak. No material resources at his disposal. And then on top of that, his daughter was raped and his wife was sexually assaulted. Plus, he had another baby son who died. And let's not forget this powerful study we learned last week on adultery and murder and how he had to face Nathan the prophet and come to terms with God's pressure in his life and the conviction and the confrontation and where that was going to end up if he didn't repent. So just picture this now. His kingdom's in chaos. All of his enemies are laughing at him, and he's in despair. You know, things couldn't have looked any bleaker in King David's life. They really couldn't have. So he was really depressed at this point. And he writes this psalm, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me?" So can you get a picture of this now, folks, how crazy this was? These were all serious problems for King David. And when we look into this psalm, we can see exactly what he was facing. Well, first of all, there was a spiritual dryness in his life. Do you see why? In verses 1 and 2, it reads, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" So when you read this, you know, God was far off to David. And he felt like a wild deer who was being hunted by a pack of dogs. And he was panting for breath and desired water. He had a soul that was shriveling up. And that's a sign of spiritual dryness, folks. You know, when people get depressed, God's not real to them, even when they go to church. You know, everybody else around them could be rejoicing in the music and just praising God, and then they're walking out of church and they're saying, "That was a powerful sermon." But not to King David and not to people that are in depression. They feel like God's forgotten them. They feel like they were all alone. And then listen to what he says in verse 9. "I will say unto my God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me?" Now, God hasn't forgotten him, but remember, he's thirsty for God. And why is that? Because he's in a place of spiritual dryness. And then he's continually crying. In verse 3, he wrote, "My tears have been my meat or food day and night." So he finds himself just weeping all the time. Now, remember, that was one of those descriptors in the list that the quote-unquote worldly professionals gave us. But it's right here in the Bible. So he's weeping all the time. Now, remember, he's a mighty warrior, a strong man of God, and he's soaking his pillow every night with tears. And then just picture him up during the day in a planning meeting with some of his warriors when he suddenly breaks up into tears and his chin quivers and he just puts his head down on the table and he starts crying in front of all of his men. And then he's feeling shame and defeat, too. In verse 3, he says, "They continually say unto me, where is thy God?" So in other words, his enemies, they taunt him and they say, "David, you've been bragging about your God and writing all these psalms about how much you love the Lord and how great and mighty he is. Where is he now, King David? Could you just see them mocking him? How come you're not living in David, in victory, King David? Where's the victory you tell us to live in, King David? Could you just see it?" And then that's all compounded by the fact that he has these lingering memories of what once was. And folks, is that where you're at? Are you just clinging on to something in the past? In verse 4, he wrote, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I have gone with the multitude. And I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praises. So he's simply saying, you know, I remember when I used to be different. I remember when I used to love to worship. And I remember when I used to love to praise God with all the others. But now, he just has these haunting memories. And to make it even worse, the devil's telling him that it'll never be good again. It's all gone. So all he has are these lingering memories. And then he's just overwhelmed by his circumstances. In verse 6, he wrote, oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember thee from the land of Jordan and from and of the Hermonites and from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. Those are waterfalls, folks. And all thy waves, thy billows are gone over me. So here he's just overwhelmed. And all the worldly experts, they say that depression does feel like a torrent of water just coming over its victim, washing over them. And they just don't know which way to turn. You know, like picture those stories and testimonies we've seen about tsunamis lately and how people have described that. Well, that's a feeling that the experts say that people have when they're in this deep state of depression. So King David was overwhelmed with his problems. Now, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. But he got into this very sad place. So it wasn't just a matter of putting on his game face and saying God is in his heaven and all's right in his world. The point is that we need to understand that depression is a very serious problem. King David had it, Moses had it, Jonah had it, Elijah had it, St. Paul had it, John the Baptist had it. It's serious and it's real, folks. But hang on there, because God has, praise the Lord, he has a spiritual provision for depression. He does. So we've looked at this very real problem, and the experts in the world, the worldly men and women, who try to give their sage but sad advice, you know, they recognize it, the Bible recognizes it. Now let's look at God's spiritual provision for dealing with this depression, which we can call, during this season, the Christmas blues. And praise the Lord, I'm telling you, folks, there is an answer, and there's a hope and a help for you if you're dealing with this right now. Now, first of all, to deal with depression, you have to inwardly analyze or search your heart. Notice exactly what King David did, beginning in verse 5, where he wrote, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? So King David's talking to himself. And I got to admit, folks, when I'm really under the gun up at the plant, I'll catch myself talking to myself. I got to admit it. Maybe you do, too. Do you do that? The point here is that there's a part in us, this unregenerate carnal mind, where this power of negative thinking just constantly resides. It's just like an endless tape just playing over and over and over in our minds that we ought to feel sorry for ourselves. But that's the carnal mind if you're a saved person, and that's the natural mind if you're not saved. But we can be spiritual men and women in Christ Jesus. All things are made new, including our minds, folks. We're renewed in Christ Jesus. So this carnal mind or this natural mind, if you're not saved, just says to you, you're not going to make it. It's over for you. There's no hope. There's no help. And this voice is just constantly playing that over and over and over. And that voice, that's your soul. That's your soul without the light. And where's the light come from? The Spirit. Remember, Proverbs 20:27 says that the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, which gives what? When there's oil in the lamp, it gives light to the soul. So you need to take your soul, and you need to shake it. Hold it in front of that lamp and look it in the eye and say, why art thou cast down, my soul? In other words, make sure there's oil in your lamp. Light that spirit and analyze your heart and ask yourself in the light of the Lord, why art thou cast down? Maybe it is something grievous, a death of a loved one, a child or a spouse, or maybe you've lost something precious to you. Your business that you've worked for your entire life was, you know, wrongly taken from you. Maybe your child just became a drug addict. You just found out your child's a drug addict and they're in rehab. Right now during this Christmas season, whatever it is, the point here is to pour out your grief to God. Tell him about it. Then accept the love of God and the love of your friends. And understand whatever it is, it's not big enough to destroy you in the rest of your life. And how do I know that? How do I know that? Because you're still here, folks. Maybe you're cast down because somebody's disappointed you or betrayed you. Maybe you're about to get married and your fiancé just broke it off. Or maybe your parents have disowned you and you feel unloved and unwanted. I don't know what the circumstances are. Maybe your spouse just ran off with your best friend and has forsaken you and your children. You're there alone this Christmas season, and it feels like the end of the world. I don't know the specifics, folks, but we have to learn what's happened in our lives and understand it. And understand that we cannot live the rest of our life licking our wounds. We can't do that. Maybe your doctor called you and told you some really bad news and said it's only going to get worse. It's incurable. So what do? Do you get despondent? Do you get cast down? No, absolutely not. You say to yourself, you look into yourself, and you examine this, and then you say, look, though my inward man perish, praise the Lord, though my outward man perish, praise the Lord, my inward man is renewed day by day, praise the Lord. So you got to find out. You got to look into yourself. You got to look yourself straight in the face and ask yourself, why art thou cast down, O my soul? So you've got to identify it, okay? And once you do that and honestly face it, then and only then can you start on the path to healing. So first of all, analyze it. Look into your heart. And then look upward and realize your hope. That's what King David did. In Psalm 42, verse 8, he wrote, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in daytime. And in the night, he shall be with me and my prayer unto my God in my life. So first, David looked inwardly. And he analyzed his heart, and then he looks upward, and he realizes he has help. The truth is that God's not going to forsake you. He never has, and he never will. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Praise the Lord. So you may be thinking, well, you just don't understand, Bro Ken. You don't know my problem. It's really bad. You know, my son, he committed suicide. You know, my husband, he ran off with my best friend a week before Christmas. My business was taken from me unjustly. No, you know what? Those are all very good points. I don't know your particular problem. I don't know, but God does. And he understands. He does. He's the one who created you and controls it all. He's mighty, mighty to save. He's the creator of this universe. And now he runs it. And he cares about your broken heart. He cares. Remember, he goes to the funeral of every fallen sparrow, and he has every hair in your head numbered. Now, you may say, well, I don't understand why I'm still having this trouble. Well, you don't have to understand. Pastor Warren Wiersbe, he's one of the greatest Bible teachers alive right now. He said that life's not a problem to be solved, but a mystery to be lived. Now, some lose their faith in times of these sufferings and depressions, and they don't understand why. Well, King David didn't either. In verse 9, he wrote, I will say unto my God, my rock, why hast thou forsaken me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? So he's crying and he's asking God, why? Why, God, why? But notice God doesn't answer why. It just seems like all the world wants to know why. But did you ever think that not knowing why might be God's plan for you? You know, the poet Robert Frost, said it perfectly with this very deep bit of wisdom. Now listen very carefully what I'm going to read to you now, because you'll miss this very deep wisdom if you don't listen. It's very subtle, so listen carefully. And I quote Robert Frost, but it was of the essence of the trial that you shouldn't understand it at the time. It had to seem unmeaning to have meaning. Did you hear that, folks? Just let it sink in. I'm going to read it one more time. But it was the essence of the trial that you shouldn't understand it at the time. It had to seem unmeaning to have meaning. Maybe you ought to write that down and just reflect upon that a little bit. So when you don't understand and just say, God, I trust you, then and only then, when you put your hands up and just surrender and say, forsaking all, I trust him. Guess what starts to happen? Supernaturally, your carnal faith is displaced by his saving faith. And then that's when miracles start to happen. The point is, we don't have to know why. When you know who, and you put the problem in his hands. That's the essence of the trial, folks. So just look up and realize that Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is in control. and recognize his provisions and just receive his help. Amen? Then thirdly, after you've looked inwardly and you've looked upwardly, then look onward and realize his help, okay? Just look onward and realize his help. So no matter what's happening to you, please understand that God has a final plan for you, and this isn't it. He has a perfect plan for you. Remember last week I said there's three people listening to this message right there with you. The person you are right now, the person you would be if you just put your hands up and surrendered to him and went the plan and path he put before you, and then the person you'll be if you continue in this current state of depression that we're discussing this week or unrepented sin last week. And that'll lead you right to the pits of hell, folks. So no matter what's happened to you right now, please understand this isn't God's final plan for you. In verse 11, King David wrote, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." So he looked inward, then he looked upward, and finally he looked onward. So he looked inward to analyze his heart, upward to recognize the source of his help, and then onward to realize his hope. Now, he knew God had not forsaken him, and that's why King David was a man of such great faith. Now, sure, he had these heartaches we talked about and the troubles and even misunderstandings and grievous sins like adultery and murder, but he said, "I know God's going to see me through." And likewise, I'm telling you, folks, God's going to see you through. He's going to turn your deepest, darkest nights into the most joyous sunrise. He's going to do that. Your heartaches into hallelujahs, you know, your tears into these incredible spiritual pearls. And he's going to take this rainbow of hope and just arc it over the storm in your life right now. My God, I promise you will see you through if you just forsake all and trust him. Did you get that? I'm telling you, he will. God knows how to make a way for you. He does. He says in Jeremiah 29:11, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and hope." So I'm telling you, don't let Satan blow out the candle of hope in your life, especially during this joyous Christmas season. And then thirdly and finally, notice this. There's a sure promise from God in times of depression. In Psalm 42:11, King David wrote, and I'm repeating this, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall praise him." So if you're fallen emotionally and spiritually, something really horrible has happened in your life, you can get up if you know the Lord. Can do it, folks. But if you're perplexed and in despair and you don't know the Lord, I really feel sorry for you, because there's no hope until you know the Lord. You know, I don't know what people would do if they were in this state and didn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Aren't you glad that he gave us this passage out of Psalm 23? "Yea, though we walk through the valley of shadow of death," you know Jesus is there with you. I just wish everybody truly knew Jesus. I really wish they did. You know, there's these words to this song that George Beverly Shea wrote. And before we wrap up this message, I'd just like to play this. Now, he was the worship leader at the Billy Graham Crusades, and he just went home to be with the Lord not too long ago, well over 100 years old. But just listen to these words from this old song, okay? And it's titled, "All Things in Jesus." And I'm going to come back to wrap this up.
Friends all around me are trying to find what the heart yearns for by sin undermined. I have the secret, I know where 'tis found. Only true pleasures in Jesus abound. Joy he supplies. Life would be worthless without him. All things in Jesus I find. Jesus is all this poor world needs today. Blindly they strive for, sin darkens their way. Oh, to draw back the grim curtains of night, one glimpse of Jesus and all.
So turn back those curtains, folks, those grim curtains of night, and look at Jesus, and all will be light. It will be. You know, realize this stuff, folks. It's real. And you know, there's this great poet in American culture, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, and he was, I mean, like in the 1800s, this guy was like renowned, you know, and some tragedy hit him in I think it was like around 1861. His wife, his beloved wife, who he just loved, died, you know. And in his first Christmas without her, he wrote this in his diary: "How inexpressibly sad are the holidays." And then in the next year, I think it was 1862, he wrote the same thing. He said, "A Merry Christmas, but not for me." And then in 1863, His son, against his will, joined the army to fight in the Civil War, and was, or I should rightly say, the war between the states. And his son was wounded. And so on Christmas Day in 1863, he picked up his pen and he wrote, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day." Now, this was an incredibly powerful poem, and it began very pleasant. I think we've all probably read it before. And then about verse 4, it starts to get very dark for a Christmas carol. And he uses words like accursed, cannons thundered, mocking the message of peace. And by the 5th and 6th verses, there's a desolation in his writing. And I'm not going to read all this. But then here's what I want to share with you folks. There's this inexpressible sound of hope. As bleak as that Christmas day was, with his beloved wife gone for 2 years now, his son wounded in war, and he wrote this 7th stanza, and I just want to share this with you. "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God's not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, good will to men." And we all know that. That's a very famous Christmas carol. You know, just remember this. Jesus died for you, and he loves you. He does. And when you're depressed, it's real. It's a serious problem. So if anybody's telling you no, they just don't understand their Bibles. Just read Psalm 42 like we did today and realize that King David faced it, and so did many other godly men and women in the Bible. But praise the Lord, because he made spiritual provisions for your depression. And you can see that in that psalm too. And then there's a sure promise from God in our times of depression. You know, Jesus died for you, and he loves you, and I love you too. And he wants to save you and restore your soul. So just cry out for him and ask Jesus to save you. So, folks, I'd like to just wrap this up with another very powerful Christmas carol. This is one we all know. "Hark the Herald Angels Sing" by Carrie. This one's being sung by Carrie Underwood. And you know what? You can listen to these old classic ones, like the one Longfellow wrote, like this one, and you can hear the gospel preached there. So as we finish up this message in this holiday season, and realize there's hope for us if we're in that state of blueness right now or depression, just listen to the words and allow them to minister to you. I love you all. Have a blessed Merry Christmas with your family, and I'll be back here next week, provided the Lord's willing. praise the Lord. I wish you a very Merry Christmas, and I'll catch you next week. I love y'all.